Tonight's show, we're going to be discussing the topic of Sheamus, what goes into the Sheamus box, what doesn't go into the Sheamus box. The real truth is that this sugya is way beyond tonight's share, even beyond the part one and a part two. We could probably do a part six, seven, and eight, ten, to get really into all the various shailas that come up with Sheamus, what goes, what doesn't go. But I think we'll just leave it at a part two. We'll try to discuss some of the major interesting parts of Sheamus, which I found interesting, some of the common shailas that do come up. The first question that is addressed by many of the achrayim is, what's the deal or what's the status of things that are not handwritten but yet things that are what we call printed? Today, most of the Sheamus that we come across is really printed. It's not written by hand. It's not written by a cipher who injects into the ksav some form of kedusha. It's made by a machine. A printing machine maybe is pushed or maybe not even pushed by a Jew. It's maybe that loses some of the kedusha due to the fact that it's not written on, you know, by hand by a Jew. Now, obviously, today, for example, our mezuzahs and our tefillin, those are intrinsically dvarim shebekdusha. They need geniza; those are handwritten klaf and all things like that. But what about printed things that today are more common than others? Is that we print? So that there's a Taz in Yeridei who writes like this. Number one says the Taz, "Hoyel v'yosel liyod the name of milsum lefisha shemati oimim she'im besvarim hanetfasim kedusha." The Taz says that in his times already, there was a memra, people were saying that svarim that are printed, that are nitfas, that are not handwritten, but are printed, they don't have the same kedusha, kimayha nechtovim biksaf, the same status of kedusha as if it was handwritten. Obviously, before the printing press came out and they were printing, that's the way they used to make things, it was handwritten. Says the Taz, he doesn't think it's true. V'li nirish ein chiluk b'zai, I think there's no difference. Da'afiluim nemer da'avei chakika. Because even if you want to tell me, worst case scenario, that when you write something through a printing press, it's not considered a ksiva, but it's called what we call a chakika. It's more of an engravement. It's not real writing. It's basically engraving the letters. Says the Taz, who cares? Da'gam beget. Yirachos. We know the Gemara says that you can do that by a get as well. And that's considered a ksav. K'ma shakas of Evan Ezer.
This also assumes that anything that was written by hand was written the Kedusha.
Right.
So with Kabbalah.
With some form of spirituality added to it.
But it's not necessarily true. Right. Like somebody who was transcribing a...
Right. Could have just been repeating whatever the same words are, 100%? Right, he's just copying and pasting in the long version.
Right,
so then the Taz says he thinks it's not true. Then he quotes Bishuvra Isi Bichuva Shailas Lemir Bin Yamin, with the Masas Bin Yamin, Shikasav Gamkein, Shemaisa Hatfos Hu Kadosh Kiksav. Something printed is as Kadosh as if it would be written by hand. Mitam, why? The gam chakika he kaddish. Because let's say you'd etch something out. You would dig it, you would, instead of writing it, you would scratch it out. That would also be kaddish. So if you'd scratch out Shem Hashem, instead of writing it, you'd scratch it out, says the Masas Bin Yamin, that would also be considered ksiva Shem Hashem. The heavy raya gam came me ever, he brings a raya from a gemara and gittin. And the truth is, the Taz himself, I skipped this part, it's a long Taz. The Taz himself brings a raya from a gemara in the end of Masechah Saita. He brings a raya from the stones of the Avnei Shayim. He has a whole raya based on the gemara over there, but al kaponim, the Taz's opinion is very clear. Avlafi and his deity ain't tzrichim lezek, ki havik siva mamish. He said, don't tell me that a printed sefer is like a chakika. You don't need to say that. A printed sefer is ksiva. It's like writing it. The mali shedoichik as a eight al aniyor, oy al niyor al oise shalei feres. He says, what's the difference if you push a pen on paper, or you do the reversal, oy al niyor al oise shalei feres, or you take a piece of paper and push it up against lead that prints it? Aidiv aidik sivuhu, says the Taz, and this is what we all use today, lahalach lamaisa, is that we assume that printed svarim, although they are not handwritten, although they come from a machine, we follow the opinion of the Taz that they still have the same kedusha, and therefore we'd have to treat them, whatever we need to treat for various divrei kedusha, we'd have to treat for printed as well. Then he concludes, when we come walk and then you get. So let's say a get. Let's say a guy wants a photocopy a get. If a guy is cheap and doesn't want to hire a cipher, and in times of the Gemara, that was a whole procedure. You hire the cipher, and who paid the cipher was a whole discussion. So this guy's cheap. He did this already once, or he knows a little bit about Gerushin. So a photocopy, they'll go online, they'll get a copy of a get and print it out. Says the Taz, no, you can't do that. Even though I just got finished telling you that photocopy is the same thing as writing it, nonetheless, you can't use it for a get. Ein lasis b'tfus, why? Given shiktaz doim l'chakika, it looks too much similar. Aval yin kedushas ha-svarim, says the Taz, but you want to know about the kedusha of svarim that are printed? Kol ha-mekel osed litin esedin. Anyone who's going to be lenient and say, printed svarim don't count, and you hear people say that, says the Taz, osed litin esedin. They're going to have to answer for that one day.
Doesn't the Taz just say that a get is because of law lishma, that you have to...
Right, so that would get us... So that would get complicated about whether or not you'd be able to infuse lishma by pushing a machine. That's the whole tumult about machine matzahs. One of the big discussions with the machine matzahs are, can you infuse lishma by pushing a button? When you push a button and you have lishma, does that make it the outcome of lishma? That's negated. It's right, it's grama. That's where things get pretty lebedic about figuring out, can you inject lishma by pushing a machine? So the Taz is very clear. The Taz is of the opinion that printed svarim have the same kedusha as handwritten svarim. So today, almost all of the svarim that we're going to deal with are printed. Printed svarim have kedusha svarim that need to be treated properly. And the Taz reminds us that if we don't deal with this, if we think to be lenient, we're also lidin as hadin. There's a Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Haim number 2, where there's another issue that comes up with Kedusha Svarim. There's really three categories when we talk about Svarim. There's how to treat it properly, meaning, you know, treating it with respect. Then there's Gniza, how to get rid of it, to bury it or that. And the third issue is you're not allowed to do certain Devrei Bizoy to it, meaning you can't bring it into a bathroom. And what the Mechaber is discussing over here is you can't have Tashmish, can't have relations in a room where there are Svarim. Many times young couples go to a family and someone's not always thinking and they don't know. They put the young couple in a room, in an empty room in the house. You know, it's the guy's Svarim library. There's Svarim in the whole house. The whole room is full of Svarim. You know, it's not very fair to the young couple. So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, Bayish Yesh Batfilin. He's talking about, let's say there's a house that has tefillin in it. Now again, this doesn't mean somewhere in the house. So asal l'shamish b'mitas. You now have tashmish in the room with the tefillin. Achi yotziim, or until you take the tefillin out. Most of us don't keep the tefillin in our bedroom. Okay, this does come up. Let's say you're in a hotel room. If you're in a hotel room, it's one room. You're a pretty tight space. You don't have a lot of room. So then you might run into such a problem. Oyshe yenicham b'kli teich kli, or you put it into kli teich kli. Okay, that's what the Shulchan Aruch discusses. So a drawer might work, and covering it. These are all might be various ways of putting it in a bag. That's the sugya over there. What I want is the Mishnah Berurah over there. If you look at number 3 up on the left corner, the Mishnah Berurah writes on this halacha. Now, even though the Shulchan Aruch was talking about tefillin, and we know tefillin is the highest ranking level of kedusha based on the Gemara Megillah we saw last week, says Mishnah Berurah, "Vuad in chumashim." Let's say there's a chumash in the bedroom. I said, "Do it tefillos." There's a sitter. I should ask for him. Bein b'ksiva. Whether they were handwritten or they're printed. So it doesn't matter, says the Mishnah Berurah. Hakol yesh bahem kedusha. They all have kedushas kisve hakodesh. You need to have a kli teich kli. So if you have a printed copy of a chumash, which is what we have today, you'd also have to have it. Then he writes, says the Mishnah Berurah, and then he quotes the Taz that we just saw earlier. So this is obviously the Mishnah Berurah's endorsing of this Taz. The Mishnah Berurah is telling us that he holds like the Taz. So we now know that not only did the Taz say, the Mishnah Berurah holds like this Taz, that printed Svarim have the same Kedusha Svarim with regard to Gniza, how we get rid of it, and likewise with regard to having Tashmish in a room with a Svar. However, here's where the Mishnah Berurah introduces us to a new idea in the Achronim. He quotes a very famous Tshuvas Chavas Yoyer. The Chavas Yoyer was of the opinion that you could be makel with printed Svarim. That was the opinion of the Chavas Yoyer, widely rejected, but the Mishnah Berurah does bring it in. What does Mishnah Berurah use it for? It says the Mishnah Berurah, "Ach b'tshuvas chavas yoyer simikov pezay noita lahakol b'zeh b'shasatcha kishein lebemal lachases." The Mishnah Berurah says, "I'm willing to be makel not with regard to gniza, not with regard to not putting in a shemus box, but I'm willing to be makel if you find yourself in a situation where there's no way of covering the svarim, or there might be too many svarim. You know, the guy has a beautiful oitzah svarim. There's tons and tons and tons of svarim. So can you hang a sheet? You don't hang a sheet. Sometimes it's not practical." So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Then I think you'd be samech on the chavas yoyer." If you don't have a way of covering the safe. So there are those who want to tie in it, that even the Mishnah Berurah that's makel like with the Chavas Yoyer, that's only with regard to something like having Tashmish in the room. But with regard to Gniza, where the Mishnah Berurah tell you that if you can't find the Shemesh box, so you just take the Chumash and you dump it in the garbage, that he's not willing to say.
Why can't we say the cover?
Maybe, because that might be, the cover itself might not be good enough because it was made for that. So you might have to use a secondary cover. So let's say, for example, you take the safe, okay. Right, you'd wrap it in something else, you'd wrap it in a bag, that might be clean. Now there's a chazinish which I didn't photocopy. We'll mention it later. Rav Asher Weiss and Menachas Asher works with this chazinish. There is such a chazinish, where the chazinish is such a tzad that svarim that were made through machines, if they were made not al manas lomoid mehem, exactly what he's referring to is not clear to me. He's talking about svarim that were printed, but not with the purpose of learning from them. You know, some rabbi might tell you when he makes photocopies, he doesn't think too many people are going to learn from them either, right? But he's talking about if you didn't plan on using it. Then the chazanish has a tzad, if it was not almanas lumoit, and it was printed, then the chazanish is more makel. But that's not going to help for most of our printed svarim. most of our printed Sfarim, if you ask them why they print them for people to use them. So that Chazanish I don't think is very helpful. Where the Chazanish will come up again is when we talk about newspaper articles. For example, now we have wonderful, you know, wonderful reading in the Jewish magazines and in the Jewish newspapers, but they do us a little bit of a disservice. When they put in all these wonderful articles about everything under the sun, which is great, they throw in Divrei Torah. So now that they throw in Divrei Torah, what do we do with that? Can we take it into the bathroom? Can we take it into the bathroom? Sheamus. So one could make the argument, as the Minchas Asher discusses this, I would have thought that when they print that stuff, they don't really think anyone's going to learn from it. They print it because they want to be a balanced newspaper that has Torah and Divrei Chol. But are they really thinking that this is going to be your Limud HaTorah for the week, whatever article they run? I don't know. The Minchas Asher assumes not like me. He thinks that when they print it for a reason. I wonder. I'm not so sure if when these papers print the Divrei Torah, they're doing it just because they want to at least give someone an option. Or they really think it's Al Menas L'Umayim Mehem. So that might make a difference. But Pashtus, the way it presents like now, the way it seems, that printed Svarim, which is what we have in our homes, would be considered Kaddish both with regard to Geniz and with regard to having Tashmish in a room where they're found.
Like the person who wrote the article, I mean, it's clear, wrote it
to... Yeah, I would assume, but I wonder if it's telling him or if it's telling the printer. When they printed this article, they put it into the back of the newspaper. You're probably right. I think you're right. They don't do it just for my reason. I think they do it because they want people to read Torah. So then it's Amanas Lumen Mehem, then even the Chazanish won't help you. We'll see. The Minchas Asher lays out such an argument. There's a fascinating tshuva from the Rav Pa'olim, the Ben Ish Chai. He talks about an interesting shayla. It's not really negated to us, but in the middle of the shayla, he brings in a fascinating idea. He talks about a person who wanted to sell Svarim in Shul. Right now it's common practice, but the question that the person wanted to know, is it mutter to sell Svarim in a Shul? Is that like, you know, the right Kedusha to a Shul to sell you a Svarim? Right? It's a business, it's a parnasa, but maybe you don't do it in Shul. You know, we don't do our business in Shul, we do our business outside of Shul. So is it right to sell Svarim in Shul? And the answer that he gives over here, number four, is very interesting. He writes like this. Ve'ein loyma shezet dafka b'koysev ikonah Svarim. He goes on to be mechadish that when a person buys a sefer, he's be mekai in the midst of ksiva sefer Torah. Which is a very big chiddush. Right? I have an Oitzer Chochm, I have, I don't know, thousands and thousands of Svarim on there. So I get like I just wrote thousands and thousands of Sefer Torah. Just make Achnas of Sefer Torah every single day, every single time I turn it on. Right? He has a chiddush that when you buy Svarim, even printed Svarim, it's a Kiyam HaMitzvah. And he writes like this. Don't think that it's Dafka B'Koysev, Oikonah Svarim Shein B'Ksiv As Yad. Don't think it's only if you buy Svarim that are handwritten. You're going to get manuscripts. The Achreinim held that printing is just like writing. Any printed sefer is like a handwritten sefer, as if it was written bekumos. It was written within good old-fashioned, old-school way of doing it. And he writes, "V'hinei yodua liknoi sifrei Tanakh, to buy sifrei Tanakh, v'sidurei tefillah v'sifrei Torah shebal peh, kol zehu mitzvah gedoyah l'v'rabba ma'oid." It's a big mitzvah to buy svarim. The hakas v'rosh mitzvah se'akol yisrael lichtev chumashay Torah mishnah v'gemara purushayim. The Rosh writes the mitzvah for every Jew to write chumashim mishnah gemara and pshatim. V'agoyim drish v'shach tefillah v'kamas v'rosh lemait b'zmanazeh mitzvah tzivah sefer Torah l'gamri. Some people learn that there's no mitzvah to write a sefer Torah now. Now the mitzvahs do something different. Now the mitzvah is instead of writing a sefer Torah, write perushim, write svarim, write hagoyis, and write ha'aris. We have two mitzvahs today. Every Jew has a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah. The raki b'svarim elu ikanami mitzvah. And there's another mitzvah. When a person goes out and buys svarim, printed svarim, he's been mekayim a mitzvah. V'zuhi a mitzvah he tzvicha b'zman hazeh, yoyis miksiv a sefer Torah. It just means that this is more relevant or more common than today. So he's tying a chiddush. Not only does printed svarim have the same din as regular svarim, he's basing it on the rush that when you go out and buy printed svarim, you'll be mekayim a mitzvah of acquiring svarim. So the Rav Pa'olim was clearly of the opinion printed svarim had the status of regular svarim, and that's the way it's acceptable halacha today. We don't discard printed svarim. They have the same status as handwritten svarim. So everything today that's printed by a machine would have to require its proper gneza if it has on it the required dvarim that need gneza, either as psukim, shemes Hashem, has Torah on it, but anything that's printed has the regular din of kedusha. I want to talk about something which is a little off the beaten path, but I found it fascinating, is many people, when they write letters, especially when you're in yeshiva, you write on the top, Beis HaMach Dalet, or you write Beis Hey, right? It makes the page look more religious or something, right? People have this custom. The question is that right? There are those that held that that might be a halachic problem of Kedusha, and therefore you might not be able to throw out the paper. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, over here, number 5, he talks about this shaila. Rav Moshe writes, many people have a minhag that any paper they write, they always write on the top of a beis hei. Shehu ois min Hashem. The hey is at least one of the letters of Hashem's name. V'gam ha'kavonu hu la'Hashem yisbaruch. And you write that base hey, you're thinking that this is some reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheshemati sheyesh ha'sarim shu asa. Rav Moshe says, I heard that those people say that's asa. You're not allowed to do that. Hine says, Rav Moshe, av shegam hu rak ois echot. Shalak b'zeh es mechika. Says Rav Moshe, what would be so bad? Let's say you'd erase the whole thing. So you're being oiv mechikas one letter. That's not an issa to be mechik one letter of Hashem's name. V'kol mokim mistarvish v'garim me'hashnei yudin. He said there's no difference in the case where a person writes two yuds as in the place of Hashem's name. We know, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have two yuds that are supposed to be functioning as in the place of Hashem's name, you're not supposed to just be moichike for the sake of it. You should only be moichike l'tzarech. So therefore, Ramah says, so you see that sometimes when you use letters to be representative of Hashem's name, it does take on some isser of mechike. So maybe here also, when you write beis hey on the top of a paper, that beis hey might be like the two yuds. And therefore, you might not be allowed to mechik it, which means you shouldn't write it in the first place. Because when you write it on a regular piece of paper, where do you think that paper is going to end up? It's going to end up in the garbage, which means it's going to end up being mevozeh and ultimately being nimchak. It's going to be erased, which is a serious problem. So Rav Moshe writes, "Mikom mokim eni roi b'zeh iser." Rav Moshe doesn't think it's really a problem. Why? He says, "Kivan shloim motzu shim chuku doesn't really get erased." He doesn't think people use that as paper to wipe themselves, because today we have regular paper for that. Rav Moshe says, what about throwing it into a garbage that's disgusting? That's also not so common, says Rav Moshe. Why? Because today we burn paper. Rav Moshe thinks burning it's better than destroying it. But to go out of your way to bedavka write those two letters on the paper, nami ain't any roi bedavar. I don't think there's any reason for it, Dr. Moshe. Today, people, I remember once I made a test for kids in school, and I didn't write like Beis HaMach Dalet. Like I did the biggest aver in the world. Like you didn't write Beis HaMach Dalet on the top of your paper. So Moshe says, if you don't write Beis Hay, it's also okay. Doesn't say anywhere in Halach, you have to write Beis Hay on top of the paper. Then he writes, Ve'eza maile sheikh lichtav amichtav echol. What exactly do you gain by writing it on your legal document that you for business purposes, what do you have to write Beis Hay for? Shahar be palm kaisum sham divri hevel. Well, you write base in the bottom, you write a bunch of nothing. Dr. Moshe, v'gam l'pom dvar masurim k'loshen hara. Guy's very makri, he writes base in, then he writes a whole letter of loshen hara. Says Dr. Moshe, what's it worth? V'im kreisit base amach dalet. What about base amach dalet, Dr. Moshe? Ein shum k'pei del aser. That he doesn't see any reason why base amach dalet should be a problem. Why? Maybe even if you're worried that someone will actually erase the Beis HaMach Dalet, they'll turn it into an airplane. She'ein b'zeh shum ois mehashem. Beis HaMach Dalet has no oisis from Hashem's name. Everyone knows that the Beis HaMach Dalet stands for B'siyata D'Shmaya. It's not a reference to any one of Hashem's of Hashem. V'chein Dr. Moshem yichtivu be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. What happens if a person writes those words, which is very common in letters, be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach? Nami enk pei d'klal, Dr. Moshem, that also has no problem. Ki ha'shin makish agam ahu enei ois m'shem ha'kodesh, elu b'shvil ha'shin yikru kuleyama be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. The idea over here is we all know that the letters are not supposed to be references to Shemus Hashem, but it's really just supposed to refer to Hashem should help. And therefore, Moshem says that Beis Hei may be an issue, Beis HaMach Dalet not an issue, be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach definitely not a problem.
How about names?
Yeah, so I was back and forth about doing the whole Shalom discussion. That's a big, people that are named Shalom, they have a little bit of a problem. What?
Israel.
These types of names, they have a lot of problems, yeah. So that's an issue. They talk about it. Those that are Makbid, they won't, in an Igeris Shalom, the Mishnah Berurah really writes, in an Igeris Shalom, you shouldn't write the word Shalom. If you're writing a friendly letter and you're signing off Shalom Yaakov, you shouldn't write Shalom. You should either leave off a letter, some people hold, make a little space between the two letters. We'll talk a little bit about it. But that does present a big issue of how do you write those types of letters. The Avnei Yeshva is very troubled by this Rav Moshe. He writes that Rav Moshe is a Pelah. Why? He says, the Mekor HaRamah Hu Medivei Chumas HaDeshen. The Ramah that Rav Moshe referenced with the two yuds, which Rav Moshe said maybe the two yuds is the equivalent to the Beis Hay, says that the Avnei Yeshva, it's not true. Because where did the Ramah say you can't do two yuds? That's from a Chumas HaDeshen. Shekosta da tam lahachma b'shnei yudin hu mishum hayud hu ois rishenish al Shem Hashem. Why would two yuds be a problem? Because yud is the first letter of the Shemus of Hashem. The dami yud, hey, it's like yud and hey, mishum mishem Hashem shasalim chok. Avo b'mila beis hey. What is the words, the letters beis hey supposed to reference? Hari akavon lebarach Hashem. That just means blessed is Hashem. You're not making any reference to Hashem per se. Ve'imkein ain shum kedusha b'mila Hashem. You're not giving any kedusha of one of Hashem's names. You're not trying to use it in the place of Hashem's name. You'll ask me, you'll ask me, so what? The Pesachei Tshuva writes that, let's say you write hey. Right? Many of us who don't want to write Shem Hashem, so we just write the hey. So the Pesachei Tshuva writes, if you write a hey to replace Shem Hashem, you still shouldn't be Meichigit for no good reason. So, what's the difference between the hey and a beis and a hey? So he says, the letter hey is a sign reference to Hashem's name. The point is, when I write a hey, so I'm trying to replace Hashem's name. When I write beis hey, I'm not trying, that's not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's saying Baruch Hashem. That's what that beis hey stands for. If you're ever curious, what does the beis hey on top of the paper stands for? I'm not trying to reference Hashem. I'm trying to mention Baruch Hashem. I'm trying to bless Hashem. No, I'm not referencing to Hashem. I'm referencing something about Hashem, that he should be blessed. But I'm not using his name as a...
In, if you wrote out, you came okay in the body of the letter.
Correct.
So you're not referencing Hashem.
Right, but that's because the etzem shemus Hashem have kedusha. That's the problem, because those are Shemus Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Everybody knows when you say Baruch Hashem, you're saying blessed is Hashem.
Right, but the point is, but you're not using Shemus, you're not using as a way of reference. I mean, the word Hei Shin Mem, you're allowed to write in a letter. Hashem is okay. If you're trying to use the letter to reference one of the Shemus Hashem, that's when you run into a problem. So if I'm using the Hei Shtickle to be instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei, so then I'm using it like Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he writes at the end, he thinks there's no problem whatsoever. But he writes, "V'yesh de'ah shreinis binyan zeh b'poiskim." There is a little bit of a discussion. Uladina hiskim iti mori agayin Reb Shmuel Alevi Vazner Shlita shereshay lahashlech mechtav shekasev ba beizeh. He quotes that the opinion of Reb Shmuel Vazner was not a problem. Beizeh has no kedusha. Don't worry about beizeh. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan,
he guy in the letter, just you're writing to somebody there, just telling you say Mashal Ka ani Baruch Hashem b'seyah.
That's fine.
That's okay.
That's fine, right. So the Aruch HaShulchan, interestingly enough, has a little bit of a different spin. He writes, V'da, Shema shekoyse b'mechtovim b'mokim Hashem dalid, oy be'ezvas Hashem, oy emirtza Hashem. If let's say you write a dalid, not a hey, you write a dalid, which many of us do today. Or he says, you write the words ezvas Hashem, Hashem should help, or emirtza Hashem, all the things Rav Moshe mentioned. Ein b'zeh kedusha klal. That's like Rav Moshe ruled. But, mi'ul detashmish b'zayin v'ade asr. But even though it doesn't have kedusha, but you shouldn't use it for tashmish b'zayin. So if you wrote a letter, and then I guess you would, I don't know, use it as an airplane, kivin sheyesh b'zeh kavona l'shemayim, because you're referencing Hashem. U'lechein yizar lisroif mechtovim keli. You should try to burn them. You should be careful from burning them.
How about if you write in English?
So we're going to try to get to English in a second. The Shach's opinion with money. We're going to try to get to all that. So this is the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe, and Avnei Yeshva all discussed the status of Beis Hei. So we have, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, B'siyat, the Shema is not a problem, none of those are a problem. Nonetheless, if you turn to the next, on the next side, interesting, the Chazanish took a more of a, more machmer approach, and the Chazanish was makbid not to write Beis Hei in any of his letters. And he writes that if it was written to him, Beis Hei, he would actually be goyinus it. He'd bury it. He'd put it into the Shemus box. The Chazanish got a letter that started on the top of the Beis Hei. He cut off the Beis Hei and put it in Shemus. Again, clearly not what other Achreinim held needs to be done, but that was his opinion.
Even though the substance of his letters was probably all Torah anyway.
Right, so again, obviously if the rest of it needs to go...
You can't imagine him writing about the weather. Right?
No, if someone sent him a letter. Someone sent the Chazanish a letter.
So he says
right, right. When he himself would write a letter, he wouldn't write Beis Hei. And when he got letters, so he would look at the letter, and the Beis Hei part he put into Shemus. Now, a lot of this chumrah of Beis Hei comes from the Rogachova. There's a tshuva from the Rogachova in the Sefer Tzofnas Panech. Now, we have to make a haktoma. Rabbi Avad Yosef writes in the tshuva that although the Rogachova was a goyin, and that's why he's called the Rogachova goyin, his piske halacha were widely not accepted. Just that, Lagabi Psak Halacha, we don't generally follow Psakim from the Rogachova. One of the very famous Psakim of the Rogachova was the Rogachova had a Chiddush based on a Gemara Chulin that you don't have to say Tefillas HaDerech when you travel in the ear. He had a right from the Gemara Chulin that the Gemara is based on the Sugya of Shluch HaKan that the ear is not called Derech. So the Rogachova felt, if it's not called Derech, how can you say Tefillas HaDerech? That was one of the famous Psakim from the Rogachova. Not at all accepted the Halacha, but that was one of the Chidushim from the Rogachova. So here's another one. Someone asked the Rogachova, Hashayla, Madua ain't a case of a Rava going Tevez Beis Hei Barosh HaMechtov. Someone asked the Rogachova, why is it when you write letters, you don't write Beis Hei on top of them? That was a question, pretty personal question. That's what someone asked the Rogachova. And he answered, Be'emes Yesh Lahar Chbazeh, I can really give you a ganze pilpul, but I'm not going to. But he writes in Kosev Ois Achaz Min Hashem Emotah Nimchok. It's totally in whether or not if a person writes one letter. Again, we're assuming over here in the Beis Hei, the Hei is one of the Shemas of Hashem. It's totally when you write, can, is there an issue to be meichig one of the Shemus? He's totally in Yerushalmi and Saita and Machlokes B'Sham B'Silo Umad the Pligi B'Shabbos Kofdei Hog Anse Gemara, and therefore he says that's why I'm machmir. L'chaid Nitzrich Lizar Shlei Lichte Teves Beizei Al Roishem Mechtavim. That's why I'm machmir. The reason why I'm machmir is because it's not so poshut if one of the Shemus of Hashem are allowed, one of the letters can be nimchak. And for that reason, I'm choishish. Now, Moshe Stenbruch in a tshuva, right on the left side, he quotes this Ragachava, but he doesn't really quote it the way we saw it inside. He quotes the Ragachava that the Ragachava is makbid not to write Bezeh, but he says his own pshat. I'm not really sure why he felt the Ragachava told you why he was makbid. But Moshe Stenbruch has his own pshat. He says, V'nire, yisoy l'dvar, v'shem b'fush, b'shochan arach yoyodei reish ayin vav, sh'asa l'mchay kashem sh'ashtei yudin, hanimsa b'sidurim sh'alei tzera gadol. He says the tshuva, ah, so Moshe Stenbruch, I know pshat in the Ragachava's minute. He was based on the Ramah that we saw quoted by Ramesh in the Tshuva. That since there's a Ramah that you're not allowed to use two yud to represent Hashem's name, kibish mischav l'shem ein sham. Ulefize gam beisei also l'morche kibish hakavon l'shem shemai. So Dr. Moshe Stenbruch, I'll tell you pshat in the Ragachava. That's not what the Ragachava says. To be honest, that's why I put the two next to each other so you can see for yourself. But Dr. Moshe Stenbruch, the pshat in the Ragachava was because he was choshish that the letters Beisei are somehow supposed to represent a reference to Shem Hashem. And since you're referencing Shem Hashem, you have the two yuds. Even though we saw that the Achreinim pushed that away. Says Moshe Stenbruch, oh, since that's the pshat, if he's there, can Beisei also because it's Shem Hashem. He then says, but ukefisha shamati morin agriz, he heard that the Biskirov loy daktik pazeh. The Brisker Rav had no problem with the letters Beis and Hey, but he writes, interesting, Aval, he heard from the Gra that the Gra also wouldn't write Beis Hey on his letters. V'shamati shegana goyin v'chaim v'lozhin noy lizor v'lekasa of Beis Hey b'geris ha-rishus. And also that was a chumra of v'chaim v'lozhin. So there were people that were makbid not to write Beis Hey, but it seems to be that most people are noyig that they can be makel to write Beis Hey because Beis Hey is not a reference to Hashem, but rather it's really just a reference to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be blessed. Okay. And another time that the Shaila always comes up about Shemus is in reference to invitations. People write out invitations and they put psukim of various psukim on the invitations. And this presents a serious halachic issue about psukim. We learned in last week's shir that a pasuk has to be treated with kedusha. That was based on a Tshuvas Rambam in his Sefer Perador, where the Rambam discusses a minhag that was common apparently in his days where people used to weave into their talis psukim. People would walk around on the talis psukim. So the Rambam Paskin, you're not allowed to do that. And the reason was because the pasuk is eventually going to come mevuzah. What's going to happen? You're going to take the talis into the bathroom, or the talis will eventually get ruined, and the pasuk will be mevazah. So from there we learn, and that's brought down the halach and shulchan aruch, you're not allowed to weave psukim onto your talis. So from there we learn that there's a special prohibition of psukim. Psukim of Tanakh, they're treated with extra kedusha, they need to be nignaz, they have to be buried, and you can't treat them mevuzah. So what the problem is, when a person writes an invitation, and he wants to show off his ideas of Tanakh, so he finds these abstract psukim to describe the simcha that he's making, so it's very nice, he puts it on, but now we all have to get stuck with burying it. So what do you do with invitations? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Igros Moshe, where he writes like this.
Send it back to him,
right? Not a bad idea. The truth is, today it's becoming somewhat obsolete, because now, everything except for weddings, or almost even that, are emails. Except for weddings, they haven't yet crossed over with weddings to make them non-emails. That's going to happen soon as well. But today, most things you get invited to, you don't get a hard copy invite anymore, you get an email. To destroy them, that's a separate shayla. Or the same shayla they talk about, let's say, a blackboard. Today, Rebbe wants to write a whole pilpul on the blackboard, and he wants to erase it, because he needs more room in the blackboard. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to erase...
Right.
We're going to try to talk a little bit about that, but that really needs more discussion about those types of things. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva like this. Rav Moshe says, I already told you many times in various Tshuvas that one should not write, let run, should not write psukim on invitations. Then he writes, Af loy tevis kol sasim v'kol simcha kol chasim v'kol kala, the hukra b'yirmiyo, that's a pasuk in Yirmiyo, the lekashem tzorech, there's no need for it. The yeshe kaisim, Dr. Moshe, shtikol chap, to get around that. What's the chap? He says they write in the hazmona kol sasim v'kol simcha b'shtei shurais. Put on two different lines. Kol achas b'shtei tevis. V'chein kol chasim v'kol kala b'shtei shurais. Put it on different lines. It's not straight. So Dr. Moshe, umitam sh'shtei tevis ein lahachshiv shuksiv eskro. If you just have two psukim, two words of a pasuk, most achareinim hold, doesn't consider it a pasuk. It has to be three words. So therefore, if it's three words, unless it's a, like for example, let's say the words v'shinantam l'vanecha. Let's say a guy wanted to send out the invitation about, you know, something about chinuch. So he writes on the tablet, v'shinantam l'vanecha, v'chulu. So that might be a problem, even though it's only two words, but those two words are defining a pasuk. Let's say a guy wants to write an invitation where he's discussing about Avas Hashem, and he puts up the word Ve'ahavta, one word. That's not a problem, it's only one word. What does that mean, to love? So it's funny, I gave a shir a few weeks ago somewhere, and they put out a flyer selling the shir. And someone noticed that on the flyer they put down a picture of a Sefer Torah, and the person who wrote it actually wrote a whole pasuk on it. So someone says, very nice, now you got to give a shir, whether or not he has to be going to this. Because now it has a whole pasuk. So if you don't write a whole pasuk, no. But if you write a whole pasuk, the chayav has to go into Knezia. So you have to be careful sometimes when we sell, when we write things, we write a whole pasuk, but it could be a problem. So Rav Moshe held, the way to fix it is don't put it next to each other. He says, V'hu tam nochem l'chayra, v'yodua mizel l'kuliyam v'shein kavanos l'chitza pasuk el v'racha ba'alma. Because then you're relaying that they're not putting down the pasuk for the sake of a pasuk, but you're doing it as a bracha. Shanaka loshan hakra l'vracha. Dr. Moshe, you know the better idea is? Don't write anything on the invitations. There's no reason. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion, and this is really the majority of Achraidim, that psukim written on invitations should not be thrown into the garbage. Instead, they should be cut off the part that's a pasuk, and it should be put into shapes. I found one kula. Oh, one of my things got cut off over here, okay? I found one kula from the Sefer Oz Nidberu. Then in Sefer Oz Nidberu, he's makel with invitations. He writes away number 11, Hapsukim shenitfas al hazmonis lechasnois yesh lahachmir la'atfam biniyor. You should wrap him in some form of a plastic. Then you throw it into the garbage. Don't put it directly into the garbage. Wrap it in a plastic bag or a clear plastic where it doesn't become mevuzah. And then you can throw it into the garbage. This Oz Nidberu, to my knowledge, is not the widely accepted opinion. I think the more widely accepted opinion is the way Rav Moshe and others assume that if you talk and have a letter, if you have an invitation that does have a pasuk on it, you should try to put it into Gnezia. What some people do is they try to change the psukim, they'll rewrite some words that are not the actual pasuk, or they'll write it in fancy, they'll make it like in a shape, instead of writing it in a straight pasuk. Some achrenim hold all these types of chaps will circumvent the problem. But many achrenim held, to circumvent the problem, don't have it in the first place, don't write it on the invitation.
Rabbi, you're allowed to be donated anything else? So now, assuming you can't throw it out, because you can't do it after Zion. But a collection of whatever, these sheets,
right,
everything else you get in the mail, you print out.
Right.
You have mounds now of Seamus. By definition, you can go to the Young Israel Woodmere every 3 hours when they read it. That is no Shiloh there?
No, that's...
Or is there any of also just not stamp? Or Sidurim, that you say again, I think last week.
Hey, we spoke about this last week, right. So we're...
Am I allowed to... discard everything even in a cup?
Right, you're not really supposed to. We learned last week that you're really not supposed to discard unless it's not unusable anymore.
So this is not another...
Right, but the problem is, so if we can save them up and keep them, one thing, but the problem is we're not going to. So it's going to, and ultimately it's going to happen, they're going to become a vuzet. So then it's better to put into Shemus. If we, again, the Aruch HaShulchan Paskins and many Achraim hold this way. If we have places in our home that are, we can store at home, we don't have to bring it to the Young Israel. We can store it in our home in a nice box that's not going to get ruined, not going to get waterlogged, and we can leave it there. Well, that's no problem either. Yeah, keep it, leave it there, no problem. But if we are afraid that it's not going to, then we should, you know, dispose of it properly.
So if you put this in a, you know, plastic bag and you put it in a garbage bin, that's bizarre.
This I think is might be more chumrah, because something like this that has actual Torah, as opposed to the psukim, he doesn't explain why he holds a psukim or not.
It's in a plastic bag, it's not going
to
get dirty.
Right, it's not going to get mevuzah. That's, we're going to learn about that. That might be the way to also discard the newspaper ads by putting them in a bag, and this way they're not derech mevuzah. We'll hopefully talk about that. I just had to mention the shayla about the money. We talked about it last week. So I put down over Alicha Shloima. It got didn't make it through the machine. It got stuck in the machine, so it's not photocopied. To my knowledge, I believe what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was discussing was the shayla about the dollar bill. The U.S. dollar bill has the word God on it, and God we trust. So the question is that one of the Shemus of Hashem? If it were to be one of the Shemus of Hashem, you can't burn money, which is not a good idea anyways. But more than that, you can't bring it into the bathroom. That's Shemus Hashem. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes in Alich Shloima Perek Chof, he writes it's not a problem. He doesn't think it's a problem to bring money into the bathroom. That God is not an issue. You don't have to worry. But I found over here Nefesh HaRav from Rav Salavechik that he writes number 13, V'chein Shemanu Merabbeinu, Sheminag Aviv Hagain Rav Moshe Haya. Rav Salavechik quotes from his father, Rav Moshe Salavechik, Shekesh Nichnas Abeis HaKisei, Hayu Moitis Kol HaKesef Amerikim HaKisei. He used to take out all his money, put it outside the bathroom, and he went to the bathroom, he took out all his money. Why? Ki lefi chumras ha-goyim dinam al ha-shemos shekayrim behem ha-goyim l'kosh baruch hu kedin shemos. Because you hold that the names that we use to refer to Hashem also have kedusha. V'akol ha-kesef ha-meriki nitfas be-anglis be-got onu betuchim, in God we trust. U-be-vada b'zayin u-lachnas shem Hashem el-beis ha-kisim. So Moshe Salavechik held that's a b'zayin. Going into a bathroom, Now, there are those who tell you, well, maybe our bathrooms today are not so bad. We've discussed this many times in Halacha. What's the status of modern-day bathrooms where the tzaya doesn't stay, it goes down? That's already a discussion. So if Soloveitchik said to this, if Soloveitchik did not follow the chumrah of his father, and he had no problem taking the money into the bathroom. Why? God, who amaratzes gemurah, right? Ki eze nafkimini yesh ben zelze. Haloi ben kovaka got inenu shem, el ragdover hamiramiz la kadosh baruch. It's just a way of hinting to Hashem. Va'afilo ikaisim arba koychovim kaze. Let's say they'd write 4 stars. And that 4 stars would be a reference to God. Says the Soloveitchik, ramiz al shem. Kamkin ha'idinu shavel got. That'd be the same thing as saying the word God. Va'af got like garim arbasa koychovim. Now it's no different. Va'kol shavel. That was the opinion of Soloveitchik.
We never have to worry about writing G-D.
According to this, right. None of it's a problem. According to this, it means nothing. It's meaningless. There's no. Many people are makbid to write the dash for this reason. Because if you hold that G-O-D is Shemus Hashem, so how do you fix the problem of Nimchak? You make it a dash. So that's why people like it. So according to Soloveitchik, he thinks the whole thing's a joke. However, if Shechter writes in brackets over here, you should just note, but there is a tshuva from the Achi Ezer, of Chaim Moizer, Shekasav Shemin HaNochem Lachos, L'chumus HaGoyinim HaNal, that he held not there, V'lichtev got, B'kav HaMafsik, and when you write the word got, you should not put the dash. That's a chiddush on 2 levels. That's a chiddush, first of all, that he held that the word got is referenced to God, and he held that the dash helps. Not everyone agreed that the dash even helps, but clearly Reb Chaim Moizer was of the opinion that the dash would make a difference. So that's the shayla about the Shemus of Hashem. If you look on the bottom, 11b is from the Sefer Ginzer HaKadosh. I mentioned last week, the Sefer Ginzer HaKadosh is an entire Sefer that discusses Shemus, Kedusha Svarm, fascinating Sefer. I think he has 12 or 13 Perakim, long-winded Perakim, with long footnotes, a fascinating Sefer on Shemus. And he writes like this, Ein lichtev bahazmonis l'simcha psukim. Person should not write on invitations psukim. Kigoyen oy yishama, kol sosoin, oy mamre chazal. Hatu'inim geniza, ki asidim love the day bezoin, because it's going to come the day bezoin. Ach kishakaisim yeim hasimcha v'kaisim l'seder, umitzatatim chedik miposim miparashah shavua. Let's say a person writes on it, yoim gimel l'parashahs, v'yoim ha'ashem, lech l'cham yatzach m'olatcha. So that you're not using it in the purpose of study, you're using it in more of a poetic way. Then he tines ein, muta de ein ton geniza. I don't know, I always wonder when they put these psukim, they're also really doing it for the same purpose. When they write a pasuk on an invitation, they're not doing it for the purpose of Talmud Torah. They're doing it for the purpose of just, you know, not to learn from it, right? Going back to the Chazon Ish, right? That's printed not for the purpose of learning. No one's learning a pasuk in Yirmiyah from the invitation. That's also supposed to be some form of a poetic writing it's supposed to relate. But nonetheless, Rav Moshe held that that's not correct. Okay. Right. They changed that, right? So a lot of people changed that for that reason. There were those Achrayim that held it doesn't make a difference, but many people changed it for that reason to circumvent this problem. Let's go through some of the other practical shahs where he talks about. Let's say you have a magazine or some form of a journal that you know there's Divrei Torah in it. There's no question. So then the halacha is you can't bring it into a bathroom. But let's say it's covered. Right, let's say, for example, the Divrei Torah part's at the back and it's covered by the pages of the newspaper. I'm reading the beginning section, and the back section is where the Torah is, and it's covered by both sides of the newspaper. Or for that matter, let's say, for example, you have a smartphone where inside there is Torah in there, but it's covered until you actually pull it up. So he writes in that case, Mutu likonis imo lebesakise. That you're allowed to, but vizar shloi legaloisim. Just make sure you never leave that page open. Which means when you're navigating through the magazine, navigating through the paper, you should try your hardest to never reveal the part of the Torah. Now this is really, many people had big tainas on a lot of the Jewish printing that we have today. The magazines, which we have endless amounts of them, and the newspapers, which we have endless. Baruch Hashem, we have some newspapers that are free. So you get those first, and then you get to spend the money on the ones you have to pay. But they do you a little bit of a disservice, because you're limited to what you can do with them. Maybe you shouldn't put them on the floor. You have no space and you throw them on the floor. Maybe you shouldn't do that. There's Torah in there. You want to bring it into the bathroom? Maybe you shouldn't. You know. So now that we mixed Divrei Chol and Divrei Kodesh, if it would be separate papers, you have your Jewish paper and you have your, you know, enjoyable reading newspaper. So now everything's separate. Now everything's one big newspaper. There's sections and there's takeouts and divides. So it gets a little bit tricky. So he's saying that as long as you don't, again, so if you have that taiva, you probably should have to learn the learning section while you're in the bathroom. Okay, that's a problem. But if you can control yourself and you'll read the, you know, the other part, as long as you keep it covered, it's okay. Right. They got asked him Hankin about the Jewish press. They asked him Hankin about the Jewish press, and he said the same psak also. As long as you keep the Torah part covered, you know, the Jewish press, sadly enough, is a fading out newspaper.
Some of them on the front page, don't they also have, you know,
Oh, they write that on the paper. Yeah, they, again, I really think they should be more careful. I think they do what they have to do, but it leaves us with a difficult job after Shabbos of what do we do with all these newspapers. So that's really the big shot, is what do we do with all these newspapers? So we'll get to that in a second, but before that, I just want to, number 16 was negated to me. What do you do with tests? I have probably in my house sitting 200 more tests than I'm supposed to be marking. Okay, I don't think I'm going to get to it. The report card's already done. What do I do with them? Can I throw them out? So there's Torah all over. The questions are all questions. And so he writes over in Ginzak Kodesh, that's treated, or let's say you have kids' homework, kids' tests. You know, my kids' tests, I put them on the fridge for the first week, and after a while, we got to do something with them. So he says if there's Torah on it, you have to be gainez it. It's like any other Torah. On the footnote, he quotes from someone who says, no, this was not considered manas lumin mo. This writing wasn't done for the purpose of learning. It was done for the purpose of testing the child's ability. So when you wrote the Bechina, you didn't write the Bechina for the purpose of Liman HaTorah. You wrote it for just for the purpose of testing the child's skills. Most Achrayim seem to reject that. It's an interesting Svara that the whole idea of a Bechina is not for the learning part. It's really just to test the child's skills. But Alach L'maisa, he paskins that Bechinas and homework, all of that needs to go into Genizim. So let's talk about the newspapers. What do we do with the newspapers after Shabbos? Sunday, Monday, by then we stop reading them already. What do we do with all these newspapers that are full of Divrei Torah in them? What do we do with them? So he writes over in Ginzei HaKodesh a bunch of different opinions. Itonim shachol sheyesh v'em tzitot shal Divrei Torah. Regular papers that have parts of Torah in it. Yesh ayim sheyesh ligzor es Divrei Torah lignoizom. Right, you should take out the Torah part, cut out the Torah part, and put it into Sheamus. Don't take the whole newspaper and put it into Geniza. If you take the whole newspaper and put it into Geniza, you're going to fill up Geniza for no reason. So instead, cut out the part, it's a whole job. You're going to go sit there the whole Sunday afternoon finding where the Torah part is, pulling it out. That you put into Sheamus, and that's the newspaper you give to recite. That's the first opinion. Next part is, take the whole Yated, the whole Amadiya, dump the whole thing into Sheamus. Okay? If you live in a place like America, where most of the people who remove the garbage are goyim, you can wrap it in some form of a bag or a paper, close it well, and put it by the garbage. Take all the paper, take the whole paper, the tire, whatever part you want to take, wrap it in a plastic bag, and put it outside by the garbage. So he writes on the footnote, who told him this? Shemati me'agayin of Pinchas Scheinberg, Shlito, that's how old the Sefer is. He heard it from Pinchas Scheinberg, the Hisper, and he explained, Shemi'achas shereivo evdim ba'ash behem goyim, because most of the garbage men are goyim, shori le'aniach b'tzara ashpa. Ta'alpi roiv goyim yizrakus eternal ma'ashpa. I don't really understand why that's better, because the goy is the one who's going to, again, you make sure it's not derech mavuzah, you put it in a not mavuzah way, and even though now it's going to get destroyed, it's being destroyed by a goy, not by another yid. But he writes, v'chein shemati me'agay Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita b'shem Oviv Hagoyin b'Yakiv. That's supposedly what b'Yakiv's opinion was. So I guess that's something we can definitely rely on. We'll be saying b'chan b'Yakiv that we'll take all our newspapers, we'll put them in a bag, we'll tie the bag nicely, put it in a garbage bag, whatever it is, and you put it in the front of your house and let the garbage man take it. And that seemed to be the way b'Yakiv helped.
And would that be different than
the issues? I think so. I think this would probably be more of. I think so. It could be. This is more. The Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss also starts to try to figure out what do we do with newspapers. And he thinks, in number 18, he writes this, he starts off with what we started at the beginning of this year. Maybe printed things have no Kedusha. Now we know that that's a very weak heter, because we saw that the Taz disagreed and the Mishnah Berurah disagreed. And he himself writes that. Says Rabbi Asher Weiss, what about the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish, he says, was only makel when you have two chesreinus. Dahinu b'tfush ein ekeich adam. If it has absolutely no human involvement, it's all machine. And the gamloi nitfas amanas lomoy ba. And it wasn't printed with the purpose of learning from it. Kegoyin kurkitin. That was the shayla in the early shayla of the Meshiv Dover, where they used to print things just to do a trial run. They weren't going to use this. This was going to just be used to see if there were any mistakes. Avo ben nitfas te lomoy ba aser. But if you're going to print something for the purpose of learning, then it becomes aser. So therefore, says Rabbi Shavais, that's not going to work. He thinks like me, that when a person writes a newspaper and he puts in Divrei Torah, he doesn't really think it's going to be learned. And therefore it's not a problem. So I wonder, when the Hamudiyah or these papers put in the Divrei Torah, if they don't really expect anyone to learn the Divrei Torah, but they just skip it, so that's not a problem. However, he says, he thinks the best option is to be samech on the Ein Yitzchak, to be saying, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan had a big kula. His kula was that things that are printed or even written with the intent of getting rid of it right away, they don't plan on staying around long term, they don't have any issur of getting rid of it. That was a chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan. Things that were printed in, like these sheets, no one's really saving them. A siddur, a chumash, a sefer, that you plan on using long term. But something that's supposed to be thrown out and not to be kept. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan held that that doesn't have kedusha svarim, and that doesn't need to go into Gniz. So if you hold, what? So that's another question. Is it tali in me or is it tali in be'etzem? Meaning, if I want to, I can keep this paper for a very long time. I just don't because why do I bother? So he had that was his chiddush. However, Rabbi Moshe Weiss doesn't like this either. He says, but achiyesh lefakvi was that tuva kiven the mekabel kam nitzvas Hashem limud. The Maisa says Rabbi Moshe Weiss, who cares? If it was made to be learned from, why should it matter? Right, many people use this Rabbi Yitzchak when they give shurim, like tonight, where I wanted everyone to see the sources, but I don't really expect anyone to keep it, so that's mamish, like this type of heter. Rabbi Moshe Weiss doesn't seem very convinced. But he writes at the end, that maybe putting this all together, maybe there's a market to be made. At the end of the piece, he writes, "Calls it Kazafti Lifnei Shalom Rabbis." This I wrote a long time ago, but now I heard there's much better services for Geniza. Now I heard it's easier to do Geniza. It's not such a big deal. I think you should put the whole thing into Geniza. So he changed his mind after he gave you all these coolers. He felt the better way would try to put into Geniza. So Allah Lamaisa, it is complicated. What should we do with the newspapers and all these things? I guess we can follow the Psak of Rabbi Yaakov. We can wrap them in a way that's not mevuzah, and this way we can leave it to the Goyim. Again, just don't find out if your garbage man's Jewish. You'll ruin it. But maybe then you won't have to give him a holiday gift. But just find out if your garbage man is Jewish. According to that opinion of Rabbi Yaakov, it might not help.